Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord as He speaks His word, seeking to be a blessing to us, speaking to us in our heart. Spirit to spirit, He speaks. Spirit to spirit. He made our spirits alive, those who believe on Jesus Christ. Our spirit man is alive, and we're alive in Him. And we can do what He does. He gave us the same, the life of God, the same life that He is. That's why we can say, as He is, so are we in this world. If we can, anytime we can fully cooperate with the Spirit of God, if we can cooperate for God's, with God's will for us, which is His Word, His revealed, the revealed revelation of His Word, the true things of God, when we can be one with that, when we can be in agreement with it and act according to the Word of God, as He is, so are we in this world. You know, I saw a commercial. A man got on a car, and they made the statement that the driver and the automobile were one. Now, when we yield to the Lord, we become one, a tool in His hand, a blessing. When we do outreach, we're an extension of Him by the Holy Spirit, speaking the words of the Holy Spirit, speaking words of life. Our mouth is an extension of the Lord. When we help people, our strength is an extension of the Lord. When we lay hands on the sick that they may recover, our hands become His hands, and we lay hands in faith, and we supply them with covenant. We supply them with the covenant of healing. We're in agreement. We believe that they are healed and they can't be destroyed. And we rebuke the sickness and we claim the healing throughout their body. And we use a spiritual law that cannot be broken, and they become healed. We are an extension of Him. We are in agreement. We believe and we refuse to doubt in our heart. A man can come to the point that he will not doubt. He will not choose doubt. He refuses it. And always remember this, we always have the mastery. If we receive God's word in faith, we have the mastery, and not Satan, and not the will of men. Serpents, scorpions, they don't have the mastery. To a man that's separated from God, they can have the mastery. But to a man that's reunited with the Lord, God gave us the mastery. And if you're somewhere too far away from a hospital and you're bit by an adder, a serpent, a black widow, or any deadly thing, you can fully claim immunity and walk right out of those woods. Because your faith is greater than their venom. Satan would use the venom of a small beast against you. But you're greater than all the power of the enemy. There's nothing on this planet that the enemy can use that can kill you if you believe and take authority. If you use the authority God gave you and believe His word against that thing. And I thank the Lord for it. You can take authority over fallout. Henry Gruber gave a testimony that after the tsunami hit Japan, the Christians were cleaning up, and men had a Christian Japanese had a Geiger counter. They were the engineers that went back inside the plant. And the fallout registered 15. 10 was deadly, but it registered 15. And Henry Gruber said, "Bring it to me." And he rebuked it. He said, "My God who made these chemicals is greater than what man did, misuse of these chemicals." And and the radiation levels went back down to zero. And they wanted him to stay. He said, no, you're going to have to do what I did, because as a Christian, you can. Sometime as a Christian, you may have to do things you were never trained for. Sometime you're just going to have to take a stand. And if you do, my friend, whatever it is, God will be with you, and you are the one who will win and not die. I learned about authority, and I was put in situations where I was going to use that authority or people would die. Anybody can do it. A child can do it. You don't have to be strong. You can be weak. You can be weak in your body. But if you take authority with your mouth, God will make the difference. Use your words. Use your words of faith and speak. And Satan can't go past it. Command him. Command him now. And stop his works throughout your house, throughout your family, throughout the house of your friend. Take full authority over Satan's works. He's corrupt. He has no rights. The Lord taught me that if anybody believed that Satan is powerful, he deceived them to believe that. He's not powerful. God stripped him. He has no power. He's no more powerful than a vapor of smoke. But he makes himself look great. And he uses others at his will, because people have so much weakness in them, and he has so much place in their lives. To them, he's powerful. And he can use their deception against the people of God, unless the people of God speak. That's why the worldly religions hate Christians, because they can't overcome our words. No matter what they do, no matter how they threaten, they can threaten all they want. It means nothing. That what they do is smoke. Any Christian can arrest the works of darkness. I've seen where ISIS were going to kill people. Now, I don't stand around TV all day watching to see what ISIS is doing, but if I hear that they capture somebody or they want to kill, I tell Satan he can't use me. Every time I've done that, they let the people go. Because you have authority over Satan. Now, when you teach this in church, people think that they got to be something special. I'm going to tell you who's special. Jesus is. Jesus, if you believe, if you're in league with him. See, when you believe on Jesus Christ, as he is, so are you in this world. Now, people quote that scripture, they read over it, but they won't apply it to their life sometime. And what they read is, they read the scripture, but they don't realize it. They don't receive it as true. But they say it's true, but they don't receive it as true. You can say something's true. You can confess something's true, but not partake of it. You can even preach that it's true. Sometimes to get the revelation, you're just going to have to make a stand. You got to be all in. And stop trying to hide behind the badge of ministry or denomination. Some people hide. Well, I don't want to do this or that. I'm a preacher. No, take the stand and do what needs to be done. Sometimes you're just going to have to say something. Now, we've been talking about relationships, and I want to cover more ground. Now, the last broadcast, we talked about the importance of loving people no matter what they do and what a fool they act and how dangerous they may be. And we were talking about how, you know, I say we because the Holy Spirit is the one who prompted me to say those things. So, I mean, I didn't do it alone. I did it with the Lord. I did it at his will to answer your question. Now, you decide to love every soul. If they breathe, you love them. And the demons that operate against their life and against your life, you got to take a stand. They don't have to hear you when you command Satan to stop using them, people that are contrary. You can do that under your breath. You can do that in another room somewhere. You can drive around the block and take authority over Satan. If you really don't want nobody to hear you, just take authority over Satan. But you got to do that, because people can be deceived. People can be just as dangerous as rebellious, wicked people. Paul was deceived by the enemy, and he thought he was right when he threw Christians in jail. He did the same works that Muslims do today, the corrupt Muslims. But see, even with Satan's greatest deception, now most people don't fall for his lies. Most Muslims will never kill a Christian, even though their religion tells them to. And we call the ones that do damage radical Muslims. But they're you know, some people are wicked. But some people, you know, people will go along, they will only go so far, just like Christians. Some people truly follow God, and there are many who just kind of take a ride. You know, they just kind of take a back seat. They're not going to pray for people. They're not going to put themselves in harm's way. They're not going to do anything wicked, but they're not going to do anything extra. And then you got some people, they're just all in. They'll do whatever God say. And some people will overwork, and their family life suffers. But if you want to do it God's way, He's not going to leave anything lacking. He will make provisions for your family. Now, there are some evangelists and apostles, some ministries, they have to leave their family and go do what they do, just like Henry Gruber did. The Lord has a remedy for every need. And sometimes people won't learn that remedy. Now, everybody I know that follow God to the T, just like Henry Gruber does, and if you don't know who Henry Gruber, you got to go to YouTube and listen to some of his testimonies and his videos. That's the kind of revelation that I've been getting since 1990. And he's much older than me, and I love him. I love, he's a hero. He's like Kenneth Hagin. I love him. And I listen to these Charles Capps and other local ministers. I love these guys. My pastor, I love my pastor. Wonderful men of God. Everybody got their own grace, their own calling, their own sanction. Now, what God sanctioned you to do, He has a remedy for every need that you supply. Now, Henry and his wife have an agreement. They're in agreement. And they are successful, even though he may have to be gone for a couple of months at a time. But sometimes a natural job do the same thing. Some people work on oil rigs. They have to live on the oil rig for so many months. They don't fly in and out of town every day. They have to stay there till they hit oil. And they drill. They spend hours drilling till they hit through the bedrock and get the oil. And we benefit from it. And then they're off for a few months. And then they open another oil rig and they go back. And you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Now, everybody can't do that. Everybody don't have that grace. Some preachers don't have that grace. They can't be away from their family. It won't work for them. But but the Lord has them set up to do another need that needs to be done. So you have to appreciate people's calling and stop trying to govern them into the same thing. We are not cookie-cutter preachers. And to be honest, if God had His way, every preacher's grace would be totally different. Some would be similar but different. If God had His way, He would send some people to churches for a season, because there are churches round about that have different elements of what you need. And He may send your family to one for so many years and another for so many months, and may even send you back so that you can help bring to one body to what another body is doing. Now, I didn't say that lightly. I said that because by the Holy Spirit. I remember one Sunday, the Lord sent me to one church that morning and another in the evening. Now, one had the most outstanding worship and praise, and the other had their worship and praise was not the same. It was good, but not the same. But the minister taught the word. And the word made the people more stable, but the worship of the church of that morning made the people more dedicated. And I knew then, I said, now, they need to go over here and hear the word, and they need to come over here and learn worship. And the Lord pointed that out. I'm not criticizing people. I just saw what needed to happen. But in order for people to actually do that, it would take a large grace of maturity, or it'll take great maturity on their behalves, on their parts. Now, and it didn't happen, so, and it probably never will until people get to heaven. But if people were in a mode, if they were in a mode to yield to the Holy Spirit and stop looking at God through the eyes of tradition, and just be in the mode of yielding to the Holy Spirit, if there was greater leadership in that area, people would do it and benefit from it and see the wisdom in it. Sometime in order for there to be change, more light has to be lived. More people have to see more light in order for them to yield and do the greater things. This is very important. And in relationships, that's what has to happen. In your relationships, whatever, you know, write down your strengths. Sometimes people can be so, you can be so bitter, you can't see nothing good that they do. Now, next time you feel bitter against somebody and angry, and they frustrated you, and you don't know what to do with them, calm down. Read 1 Peter again, the whole book, if you have to. Read it for a week and calm down. Take authority if you have to, just like we said in the last broadcast and at the beginning of this one. Decide to love them anyway. And if you're too upset to come up with ideas about how you can be a blessing to them while they're in their irate ways, ask the Lord to strengthen you. See, when the Lord strengthens you, as He is, so are you in this world. You'll be able to love them like Jesus. Now, once you decide you want to, now you've jumped that hurdle. Now it's going to take sustaining strength and the wisdom and grace of God to do it. And you'll have to just get wisdom from God. Say, Lord, I'm willing to do this. I don't think I can do it, but I want you to help me just love this man today or love this woman today. They're going to come in the house. They're going to cuss me out, or they're going to speak negatively. But help me not be moved by that, and help me be strong enough and willing to continue obeying you. All right. Now, most people don't have the deep problems like that. But if you do, I wanted to go to the extreme for those who have to go to the extreme. But it could be a mild misunderstanding. Well, handling God's word. That's the meat of what I'm saying. That's the main meaning that I'm doing. It just be bear with the person. Now, while you're strengthened, go ahead and ask the Lord to help you see all the things that they do right. And write it down. You'd already know what they're doing wrong. But focus on what they're doing right. Ask the Lord to help you see their side of things. Don't go back and forth bickering, but seek to be a blessing just like you had committed to do. And write down their strengths and their weaknesses. Not their weaknesses, but their strengths. And then you know their weaknesses. And then ask the Lord how you can be a blessing to them. And in conversation, get them talking. And they're going to talk about what's bothering them. Because in the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When we preachers preach the word, we can feel the strength of God leaving, unless we have a lot of word in our heart. But if God give a message and you really don't study that much, you can feel the word leaving. You can feel yourself being depleted. Now, I hadn't felt that in a very long time because I studied the word day and night like Jonathan and Caleb and Joshua, like Joshua did. I knew it was a J, but I had my head brain freeze for a moment. Anyway, I study the word day and night like Joshua. So I don't feel the word leaving like I used to. But it happens. When people are excessively angry about something, even if you don't give them solution, if they talk about it, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. If they talk about it, they'll get it off their chest, so to speak. And don't criticize while they're upset. Never criticize a person while they're upset. Let them vent. And say, look, I may not have all the answers, but I'm here for you. I want to help. I'm your friend. You know, let them do. Speak to them according to the wisdom of God. You don't have to say I want to help or anything. You just listen to them. Be a friend to them. Say, look, I want to help take the edge off. Let's go out to dinner. I'll pay for it. Whatever you have to do. This is the love of God in action. And they'll let their defenses down. And as their defenses come down, and they begin, let them initiate the questions. When they start asking you questions, then they're more apt to receive the wisdom of God from you. Now, bear in mind, people can't always receive the wisdom of God from you, depending on what has happened. But that's all right, because there are people that they will receive it from. So if there's a minister that they like or that they talked about that blessed them, encourage them to listen to it again some more. Talk about it with them. What else did you learn? And draw it out. Draw it up. And then go humble yourself and go study the scriptures and say, hey, he owned something. I like that. And listen to the man of God with him or the woman of God with him. Sometimes it takes wisdom and patience to get people from where they are to where they're going. Be adjustable. If you can be adjustable to the Holy Spirit, he can help you get your loved ones over the hurdles. Be a good listener. Be patient. When I went fishing with my dad, he would catch more fish because he had more patience. Now, there were men that had boats. They would go out in the water. They'd look for, they would troll to where they thought the fish were, and they catch fish. Now, I would expect them to catch a lot more fish than my dad, but my dad would stay in one spot. He might move to another spot if he just got, for whatever reason, but he would come home with fish when nobody else could. He was a bank fisherman. Sometimes you have to be a bank fisherman. You can't always troll where the fish are. And you have to be patient with people and help them at their level of life, at their level of reception and understanding. Nobody can receive when they're, from people, the word of God is not sown in strife. It's sown in peace. Once peace is made, now they can start taking your suggestions. And once they have good peace and they have strength, now they can hear you as a friend. A lot of people end up divorced because they don't know these skills. And people can be so bitter that they can't see any good in the person. And there's good that then they get divorced And then they wonder, how come he can be happy with her and he couldn't be happy with me? Or why could she be happy with him and she couldn't see no good in me? The same person that ran their spouse out of the house, they have deep regrets because, well, what's wrong with me? And the truth is, it's not you personally, and it's not the other person personally. They didn't yield to the Lord somewhere, and they got in strife somewhere. And there are people, you may be married to someone, and there are people out there that's more compatible. But now they're off limits because you're already married. But that's fine. I want to say something else in the next broadcast, as the Lord lead. I want to talk more about it. There are deep treasures in everybody, in every person. Things that God, we are designed to live forever so that with there are things in us, with patience and love and kindness, we can draw it out of people. When we become to the point where we love each other and we care about each other, you can master the art of relationships. And you can help people be willing with the wisdom of God. Most people won't give God that kind of yielding. They won't yield to him. Just like those two churches didn't ever come. They didn't know each other. I'm not picking on the churches, but if I would have stood up and said, hey, there's a church. This whole church need to go and listen to them worship. And I go to the other church, hey, y'all need to come over here and hear the word. It wouldn't have happened. I know it wouldn't happen. But the Lord was showing me what was possible if people could yield to him. Only he could get people to do something like that if they would follow him. Now, in your relationship, you got to follow him and you got to be adjustable. And if you can be adjustable, you can win your folks back and you can help them where they need you to. When you can't do all these other wonderful things, you can always love them. And what you don't know, you can learn. You don't have to know everything for God to love you. He loves you now. And you can say, Lord, help me do what I can do. Give me understanding, and he will guide you in how to help your people. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life as you yield. Yielding is very important. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.